Perfect Stranglers contains graphic and explicit content suitable for mature listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, Stranglers. It's Bree.
Hi, I have to burp. Time that drink. That was a real listen. I am really embarrassed by that burp. That was not because I burped, but because of how weak it was.
I understood.
That's it for me. Thank you. Thank you. We all knew it wasn't. Oh my god, she burped. No, it was, that was a weak ass fucking burp. Yeah. Okay, so my hair situation. Mm-hmm. I need your expert advice on what I'm doing. Okay, so for the listeners who don't know, I had a mohawk, an actual mohawk, not an, oh, she has a mohawk. I had a frill frickin' mohawk, shaved on the sides and back, long on top, right? The top of my hair at this point is probably a foot long. It's a little shorter in the back, but it's probably a foot long. It's like down almost to my collarbones. The sides and back, you can see it's like about 3 inches long, three and a half inches long. Like, she's gotten pretty long. And I don't know how to ease that transition into normal hair. So here's what I'm thinking. I don't want to look like a Karen. I don't want to have the haircut that we cut 20 million of when we were in beauty school. Stacked bob, spacked inverted bob. But I think that's my best bet. So what I think I'm going to do is take the front, and I've been parting it in the middle more so. Uh-huh. So I think I'm going to take it. Sorry, I look crazy right now, because my face is really sunburned. I think I'm going to take this and take the front of it up to my chin, or a little below my chin. So like an inch and a half, 2 inches off. I'm going to angle that up in the back so that it's just where this hair is in the back. Mm-hmm. So like an inch below my nape, so that that connects. Then I'll take the length of the hair in the back and blend it up to the crown, so that at least the back and the sides right here are the same length, and then the only part I'll have to grow left would be the real sides, like by my temples. Mm-hmm.
You can kind of disguise it.
Does that make sense?
And then it'll be less disconnected.
Yes, because I need it to be blended, because right now it's just like weird. Mm-hmm. That was one option. The other option would be to go short all the way around, and I've worked far too hard to go short again.
No, don't do that.
No, and like, let me just say this. Do you remember in beauty school, Miss Julie?
Yep.
Would say the bigger the girl, the bigger the hair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when I have I know I have a big mouth, but I have a small head, okay? And I feel when my hair is short, my head looks really tiny compared to my body, and it just doesn't look right.
Right. You got to balance it out.
Like, people are,
with some volume.
Yes, and people are always like, oh, but you have such a great face and your cheekbones and your jawline. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but I don't have the body for short hair. Mm-hmm. And like, people who are not in beauty school don't understand that you cannot have the body for a haircut.
Yeah.
Like, you truly, that's a definite thing. Mm-hmm. There are so many people I see walking around who don't have the body for the haircut they have.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really bad, but like, whatever. It is what it is, because it's true.
Yeah. Like, yeah. To be as aesthetically pleasing as it's the haircut is meant to be, it's, you know, not on the right shaped face. Yes. Or things like that.
Yes. It has to match. Like, think of someone wearing, when a woman is, I think all three of us are plus size women on this podcast. We are all curvy, beautiful ladies. If we wear skinny jeans with like narrow shoes and then like a baggier top, mm-hmm. we look like an ice cream cone. Like, that is not balanced for us. That is like what a bad haircut does, a haircut that doesn't match your body shape. Where if we were to wear flare jeans or a chunkier heel or a higher heel to elongate us, that would make us look more balanced. And that's what you want your hair to do as well. Your hair needs to be the flare jeans of the situation and balance you out. It needs to balance you out, man.
Yeah.
That's my hot take. That's my, or like, if you see a really, really big man with a bald head.
Yeah.
You're like, this ain't balancing you out, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, and you guys can send us your haircut questions and we'll tell you if that's good for your face shape or not.
How fun would that be? Oh my God. Send us your hair questions. Send us all of the things.
Yes, to the True Crime Podcast. Sure, answer it. Makes sense, right?
How fun would that be? Huh. I want to do that now. Now send us all of your haircuts.
Hey, you can.
Like, I don't know if this is going to look good or is this color going to look good. Oh my God. This could be a whole new like side. I was going to say a new side piece that we have. I don't know why I was going to say side piece. What is wrong with me? Don't answer that. Oh my God. Wow. Anyway. So yeah, a new haircut coming in hot. What's going on with you, Brie?
Not a thing. Oh.
No? Were you going to talk?
Yeah, actually. We were supposed to record this episode a few weeks ago, but I got sick that I was like puking and I legitimately like strained a muscle, like pulled a muscle in my neck from like puking so hard.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty bad. And so we were supposed to Kylie's birthday was a few weeks ago, and we were going to have her open a present on the podcast, but she couldn't wait. Because it had already been waiting at her house for like a couple of weeks before that even. So, what'd I get you?
Okay. You got me Thor's hammer as a meat pounder, a meat tenderizer.
Yes.
It's a legit meat tenderizer, but it's his hammer. Yeah, I love it. It's hanging in my kitchen just for decoration. Everly picked it up and she like was doing superhero jumps with a legit meat tenderizer, like metal hammer, and I was like, honey, just not on the hard floor. You can do it on the carpet, and for the love of God, don't smack your face with it. But if you do, that's on you.
Yeah, that would hurt.
On you. She was worthy. She could pick it up. She was worthy. So that's pretty good. I'm proud of her.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I geeked out pretty hard over that.
Yeah.
For sure. There is a screenshot, but like our eyes are like weirdly closed in it. Nicole tried to grab a screenshot best she could, but our eyes are kind of closed. But I'll take a picture of the hammer and post it on our social media.
Yeah. I should have got it. I should have got another screenshot. But
I mean, I can recreate it.
You just Photoshop our closed eyes and stuff.
Just put googly eyes over each picture.
Right. No, it was a really bad screenshot. But
oh, that's so funny to me.
But I told you that I found a way to tie that into your gift to our podcast. And
hold it before you announce what we're doing.
Uh-huh. Gotta do housework.
Housekeeping. Anytime we say perfect, I feel like it, well, in my mind, I'll say stranglers after it, but also like in life, I'll say stranglers like under my breath, like I'm a fucking creep. Yeah. Perfect stranglers. They're like, what'd you say? Oh, let me tell you about my podcast. Perfect stranglers. What are we doing? Housekeeping.
Yeah.
It's a Monday evening, guys. I'm not all here. Hi, this is Kylie. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Facebook is at Perfect Stranglers, a true crime podcast. Instagram is at Perfect_Stranglers. Twitter is at Perf Stranglers. Please subscribe to us on Spotify, and you are able to give us 5 stars on Spotify. So we have a 5-star rating on Spotify, by the way. Like solid 5 stars.
Wow.
I know.
Thank you, guys.
So we would like... We would like to thank the Academy.
Yeah.
But we won't slap you. So. Thank you. We have thoughts on that too, but that can be for another time. So if you follow us on Spotify, please give us a 5-star rating. That would be super fantastic of you. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating there as well, and go ahead and leave a review. Every time you leave a review, it boosts us up in the algorithm and makes us popular, and we would love you forever if you did that. And then yeah, if you want to send us pictures of your face and then a haircut that you want, please send us that on our social media. You can DM us or email us, contact@perfectstranglers.com, and we will give you the play-by-play. That's what I got for you today, Brie. Back to you in the studio.
Okay, so you got a Thor hammer meat tenderizer for your birthday, and I heard Manny switching through TikToks, and I heard that like monk music that you know is the beginning to a metal song. You know what I'm talking about? Know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it hit me. The Norwegian black metal, like church burnings and murders.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I have to go get my hammer. I'm so excited. Let's go. Okay. Let's fucking go.
Yes. Okay. So I know a very little bit about like metal, like Norwegian, Scandinavian metal, because when I started hair school, I was dating a guy who was like a total metalhead, and he was obsessed with Meshuga, which is actually Swedish, not Norwegian, but the point stands. And also, I think that's how I saw this documentary called Until the Light Takes Us, which is how I learned about the church burnings and murders in the first place. But in researching this, I realized that that documentary is not super well-rounded at all. Okay. Basically, from a true crime standpoint anyways, it's mainly the murderer giving his unfiltered view of what happened. So,
Well, that's one way to do it.
Yeah, so bear with me as I lay this out for you. I'm going to use a lot of stage names just because I couldn't begin to try and pronounce some of these men's given names. I'm going to try at least once, but I'm going to use a lot of stage names. And
we should have made Nicole try and do it. Yeah. We should have made Nicole try and do it, because remember that one time she was trying to learn Norwegian?
Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. So here goes. Also, the stage names are, you know, they're a little out there.
Love it.
All right. So there was /is. This black metal band called Mayhem. It was one of the founding bands of this particular genre, the Norwegian black metal. And the guitarist of Mayhem was Øystein Aarseth, stage name Euronymous. And he was kind of like the leader and founder of Mayhem. And he also owned his own record label called Deathlike Silence Productions. And he also had a record store in Oslo called Helvete, which was the headquarters of Deathlike Silence Productions. Mayhem, as a whole band, lived in an old house out in the forest, just outside of Oslo, which sounds so metal. And the frontman for Mayhem was this Swedish guy named Per-Yngve Olin. His stage name was Dead, and he was a pretty intense guy. He had some definite mental health issues, and he was very depressed, and he was obsessed with death. He would collect dead birds. He would wear t-shirts with obituaries printed on them. He would bury his clothes and then dig them up again to wear on stage so that he would look like he was a corpse. And he was also one of the first ones credited with wearing corpse makeup, corpse paint. And if you don't know what corpse paint is, you should Google it. Boomers would say, oh yeah, you know, that's the Kiss, Alice Cooper type of thing, but it is not the same. Corpse paint is not stars or kitty cats, and it's not clown-like at all. It's freaking scary.
It is. It's more like Alice Cooper-y?
Yeah, but it's like they paint...
Alice
Cooper, to my knowledge, usually only does, like, the eyes, and it's not, like, as much.
Alice Cooper meets Rob Zombie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also scarier, too, sometimes.
Yeah. Everly just realized who Rob Zombie was, and she's, like, so into it.
That's awesome.
Like, so into it. So into it, yeah. She really is into the whole him looking like a zombie thing. And I had to show her, though, because she's a little scared. I was like, no. This is what he looks like when he's not dressed in his, like, Halloween costume.
Yeah.
And I showed her an interview on, like, Stephen Colbert, like, Jimmy Fallon of Rob Zombie. And she goes, oh, he's just a guy. And I was like, yeah, he's just a guy on stage dressed up for Halloween singing.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. But still, yeah, now she listens to Rob Zombie.
That's cute. Yeah. So this guy dead. He perfected his corpse paint. He would go on stage and he would actually self-harm on stage and off stage. He actually ended up dying April 8th, 1991, by suicide at the age of 22, sadly. This is kind of a gruesome one. So this is, if you are sensitive to things like this, this is your cue to turn it off. Okay. So
listen, we're gonna have Dorothea Puente. This one, and then my next two are very gruesome as well. We're just going to have a string of crime.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Like some pretty brutal stuff.
Yep.
So he, when he died, he had cut his arms and neck, and he shot himself in the forehead with a shotgun. And the person who found him was Euronymous, who arrived home to find all the doors locked at the Mayhem House, and he had to crawl in through an open window. And upon discovering this grisly scene, Euronymous did not call the police or emergency services first. He went to a nearby shop to buy a disposable camera, and he went back to the band's house and arranged some things to make a better picture, and he took photos of Dead's suicide scene.
Of Dead's dead?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, like, brains and blood and everything. And he used this photo as the album cover for Mayhem's next album. Yeah, he did. So,
you know I have to look this up.
I would not, if you are sensitive, listeners. But obviously Kylie's gonna look it up.
Holy fucking shit. The world allowed this?
I guess so. It's disgusting. It's terrible. So, yes.
I don't often get, like, lightheaded looking at pictures like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's two times I've ever gotten lightheaded, that one. And then in the Chandler Halderson case, I found Chandler Halderson's dad's torso.
Yeah.
And that made me lightheaded.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Yeah. This is messed up. Euronymous lost a lot of friends over this. They were just disgusted by it. Just that he used Dead's death to bolster Mayhem's extreme, like, evil image. Euronymous also saved pieces of Dead's skull, and he made necklaces out of the pieces and gave them to those who he deemed worthy. One of those pieces of Dead's skull went up for sale in 2018 for $3,500, along with a letter written by Euronymous, which closes with, "Okay, that should be all. I'm enclosing a little piece from Dead's cranium in case you'd like to have it. Hear from you soon." Yeah. So, and at the time, Euronymous also was like spreading the rumor that Dead did this because he was upset with how like commercialized black metal was getting to be, or like too mainstream or something like that.
I don't understand that. When people are like, you sell out or you're mainstream. No, it means you're getting popular. That's right. A good thing.
Yeah. But, and he did, and Dad did actually leave a note, and it didn't say anything about that. Basically, they think, there's this, I forgot to write it down, but there is some type of a disorder where you basically feel like you are not human. You feel like you are like the Walking Dead, like you feel like you are a corpse. And they think that he, it's very, very rare, but they now think that he might have had that, because in his just by like his whole like stage persona and everything, like he basically never like broke character, I guess you could say, like just what he was. Like he was Dead, like that's what he was on stage and off stage. Like he was obsessed. He would make like drawings with like gothic stuff and like coffins and things like that, and so basically they think that he, that was part of his like mental health issues and stuff like that. But in the suicide note, it said something like, I don't want to quote it because but you can look it up, but it's not like anything like creepy or anything. It's just basically that, like, so there's a line in there that says something like he feels like he is just sleeping or something and that he'll just wake up or something like that. I don't know. It just, it kind of spoke to his like state of mind that he wasn't really like all there at the end.
Yeah.
And then he left also the lyrics of a song that he had been writing for years, and he told the band that they could use it.
God, that's so sad.
Yeah.
And to use your friend as the cover of an album for shock value, basically. That is selling out. That is that is the epitome of what you didn't want to do.
Exactly.
God, that's sad.
So, after Dead's death, things just really spiraled out of control. Jorn Stubberud, stage name Necro Butcher. It's one of my favorites. One of my favorite stage names.
I love it. Love it.
Who was a founding member and bassist of Mayhem, left the band after Euronymous's callous actions regarding Dead's death, which left only two people in the band. So Euronymous filled their spots, and he replaced Necro Butcher with Varg Vikernes, stage name Count Grishnak, which you'll see ended up being not such a great choice for Euronymous. Count Grishnak was originally from a band called Burzum. His stage name, Count Grishnak, and also the band name Burzum, both came from the literary works of J.R.R. Tolkien, because he was a Tolkien nerd, and but make no mistake about it, this nerd is definitely not harmless. Not at all.
If we've learned anything from this podcast, like Brady Ostrich, the Craigslist killer, nerds, they're a little dark.
Yeah.
Nerds are a little dark.
They certainly can be. Euronymous was gathering like a group of young guys from the metal community that he called the Black Circle, or the Black Metal Inner Circle, and he fancied himself a godfather type figure to this black metal mafia. Although he never really participated in the crimes, he kind of encouraged them, and he kind of sat back and just felt like his association with it would give him enough clout.
Very Manson-like.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. It was kind of cult-like. So one of the metal kids that hung out and worked at Helvete Records was Bard Itun, stage name Faust. And he was from a small town outside of Oslo where he just didn't fit in, but he was welcomed and well-liked as part of the Black Circle. He also happened to be a murderer. A fact,
of course,
that he shared with Euronymous and Varg Vikernes, a.k.a. Count Grishnak. And he got away with it for a while because the police had no leads. What happened was that Faust had been visiting family in Lillehammer on August 21st, 1992, and while walking home from the bar, he crossed through a park called Olympic Park, which is apparently a well-known gay cruising spot, and he was drunkenly approached by...
You say gay, G-A-Y, gay?
Yes.
Or gate, G-A-T-E?
Gay, homosexual.
Okay. I was like, gate? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So he was drunkenly approached by Mange Andreessen.
The fact that you tilted your glasses down and went, homosexual. You straight up tilted the glasses and homosexual.
Just to give a little clarification there.
I can't. Sometimes I wish that we did YouTube because, God, that was gold. Oh, my God. That's so funny. Anyway. All
right. So this feller walks up to him, right? And he solicits him for sex. And Faust agreed to go with him to the nearby woods where he stabbed him 37 times and kicked him in the head repeatedly. So apparently Faust was not motivated by homophobia or Satanism, as it was thought. It was more of an impulse killing, as he was, obsessed with serial killers and wanted to know what it was like to kill a man. In a 2012 interview, Faust reiterated that he has never had any homophobic views, a claim that Gall, best known as a former frontman of Gorgoroth, backs up. Gall is an openly gay black metal musician, and he says that Faust was the first person to send him a message of support when he came out, which is great, but Faust is still a murderer. So
either great or a long con, and he was covering his tracks.
What?
You know, like it's either great he's a supporter, or that was like he's playing the long game. He was covering his tracks and be like, yeah, I support the homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these nice messages I sent.
Right. Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have such a manipulative mind.
That could be a thing. I mean, these guys are not exactly on the up and up, so you don't know.
Yeah.
So going back to this whole Black Circle deal, Varg Vikernes was really political, and he's like anti-capitalist, against Christianity, because it facilitated the erasure of ancient Norwegian culture and the religion of paganism. He's credited with, but was never convicted of, the first church burning of Fantoft Stave Church in Bergen, which was built in 1149 AD.
Gosh, when I hear dates like that, like, people think the United States is old. They're like, oh my God, it was built in the 1800s, 1760. No. The United States is young. We are a young, dumb preteen who does not have their shit together and throws temper tantrums over dumb shit.
Yes.
That is the United States of America.
Yeah.
Place being built in 1100, that isn't even like dating all the way back to when you'd see shit built over there. Like, that is unreal.
Yeah. It's from the Middle Ages. It's very, very old. Yeah. Or it was very, very old before it got burnt down. But it was an absolutely beautiful church that reminded me of the Norway Pavilion at Epcot. It looks like that type of architecture, if any of our listeners have been there. But it was completely burned to the ground on June 6, 1992. A photo of what was left of the burnt-out charred remains of the church was used for the cover of Burzum's 1993 album called Aska, meaning ashes in Norwegian. So, the church had been built, and then it was moved to this specific location, which was a holy site for pagans, where the Norwegian forefathers would celebrate the sun before the Christians took over, and their ancient pagan solstice and equinox celebrations were replaced with Christian holidays. For example, Easter replaced Ostara, the spring equinox, and Christmas replaced Yule, the winter solstice. So in Count Grishnak's mind, that's what these church burnings were all about, was retribution for the erasure of pagan religion by Christianity. So August 23rd, 1992, the Holmenkollen Chapel in Oslo was burned down. September 13, 1992, Varg set fire to Skold's church, a 13th century church, and another church in Bergen was burned down on Christmas Eve, 1992. Like, damn. That one actually was not done by Varg Vikernes, though. These church burnings took the media by storm, and they emphasized that the church burnings were the work of satanic black metal bands, and this inspired many teenage fans to do copycat burnings and vandalize and graffiti with satanic symbols. And in January of 1993, Varg and Euronymous had a plan to interview Varg about the church burnings, and then they would take this transcript of their interview to Norway's one of Norway's biggest newspapers, hoping that they'd print it. And since Euronymous had not participated in the church burnings, they, at least not directly, he'd be the one to take it to the paper. So instead of printing it in the newspaper, the newspaper arranged to interview him themselves, anonymously, that he would be anonymous. And the journalist, was told that if he called the police that he'd be shot. So the journalist was invited to this apartment for the interview. And what a brave journalist after being told that you'll be shot if you call the police about anything. So in the interview, Varg and his companions said that they had burned the churches or knew who did, and they warned that the attacks would continue. They said that their intention was to spread fear and evil, and there were details of these church burnings that had never been released in the media, and the journalist checked with the police before running the article, and they confirmed those details. By the time the article ran in the paper, though, Varg had already been arrested by police, who located him by going to an address that was printed on a Burzum flyer. During this time, Euronymous continued to perpetuate this narrative that the church burnings were meant to spark fear and because Satan. Euronymous also maintained that he was a Satanist, but disagreed with the satanic teachings of Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan for being, quote, too humane. Yeah. Aside from Varg Vikernes, most people in the black metal scene are largely non-political. So as Varg's in jail, he has no way to say that the burning of the churches was retaliation for the Christians who created the extinction of the pagan religion of his Norwegian ancestors. So he's frustrated that Euronymous was mainly using it as a publicity stunt instead of a serious, like, political talking point. Also, Euronymous closed down Helvete Records store because of all the, well, he says it was because of all the media and police attention that it was getting. But apparently other sources say that it was from complaints by Euronymous's parents that they wanted him to shut it down or whatever. So as all this is happening, Varg's in jail and he's feeling that, you know, this record store is closed, and part of the reason that they were doing the church burnings and stuff was to bring more fans to the genre and bring more fans to the record store, which is now closed. So he kind of felt like all of his efforts were for nothing and he just wasn't being heard. But he was actually released in March of 1993 due to a lack of evidence in the church burnings. The evidence probably burned.
Exactly. The evidence is gone. It is arson.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. So, despite the growing bad blood between Varg and Euronymous, they continued to record an album for Mayhem together. They had conspired to blow up Nidaros Cathedral to coincide with the release of the album, the cover of which was a photo of Nidaros Cathedral. In August 1993, things came to a head when Varg and a fellow bandmate drove from Bergen to Oslo. According to Varg, Euronymous had asked to meet with him regarding an unsigned contract. And Varg's story is that he was wary of this because he had heard from somebody that Euronymous was he was planning to use a taser gun on him, tie him up, and take him to the woods to torture him on video and kill him, making like a snuff film out of it. And he said he took this seriously because Euronymous wasn't saying this to anyone and everyone. He was keeping it on the down low. When they got to Euronymous's apartment, the bandmate that Varg brought with him waited in the hallway and smoked cigarettes, and Varg went in. And nobody will probably ever really know what really happened, because I can tell that Varg is lying and that he is he has a very carefully worded and rehearsed side of his story, in which he claims self-defense, and he seems to leave a lot of details out. But the brass tacks evidence is that on the night of August 10th, 1993, that's my birthday, by the way, Varg killed Euronymous, and Euronymous was found outside of his apartment, likely because he was trying to get away. He had 23 cut wounds, 2 to the head, 5 to the neck, and 16 to the back, which kind of throws out that self-defense claim now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Varg claims that most of these cuts and the blood that was everywhere was a result of Euronymous being cut up by a broken lamp that shattered in the scuffle. Varg was arrested within days, and a few months later, he was given the maximum sentence in Norway, which is 21 years, for both the murder of Euronymous and the church burnings that they could prove. The day of his sentencing, two churches were burned, presumably as a statement of support. And the bandmate who Varg brought with him, who waited in the hallway, was charged with complicity in murder and sentenced to 8 years in prison. I'm assuming for not, like, reporting that he knew that this happened or something like that. Mm-hmm. After these convictions, Faust also confessed to killing that guy who approached him in the park in Lillehammer, and he was sentenced to 14 years, but he was released after 9. In May 1994, when Varg's sentencing was going on, the album that Mayhem had been working on was set to be released. Euronymous's parents took issue with the fact that their son's murderer played bass on this album that was about to be released on their son's record, and they begged Hellhammer, Mayhem's drummer, to do something about it. So, to bypass the delays that these complaints were causing, Hellhammer assured Euronymous's parents that he would re-record the bass parts himself. Problem was that he was a drummer and he did not play the bass. So he also had no intentions of re-recording it, because he said that, quote, "I thought it was appropriate that the murderer and victim were on the same record." So it was released with all of Varg's bass still in it. So Faust says that he has doubts about the self-defense claims. So do I.
Yeah, no shit.
And Necrobutcher believes that Varg killed Euronymous due to the death threats that he heard about himself. So I don't know if he thinks it's self-defense or not, but that's why he believes that he killed him. Also, Necrobutcher claims that he was planning to kill Euronymous too, but Varg got to him first. The reason that he also wanted to kill Euronymous was because of the rage that he felt over Euronymous capitalizing on Dead's death and being so insensitive. Probably also because he was replaced as a bassist so quickly when he was a founding member of Mayhem. All in all, from 1992 to 1995, there were 19 churches burned down and 11 attempted burnings.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, that's a lot.
That is, and like, how many of them had to have been thousands of years old?
Oh yeah. A lot of them have been rebuilt, but you know, it's not the same church.
But still.
It's not the old.
No.
You know.
That's not. No.
That's not the same. So Varg served out his 21 years in a Norwegian prison, which is better than some dorm rooms, by the way. And he was released in 2009. He is now 49 years old. He got married to a woman named Marie in 2007 while still in prison, and he has 8 kids.
Holy shit. You should, sir, you do not have the genes to be procreating.
Right, exactly. During his incarceration, he launched the Norwegian Heathen Front, which is a neo-Nazi organization. Oh my God. Yeah. He moved to France after his release on parole in 2009, and he also changed his name to Louis Cachet to avoid legal difficulties with the public, but he still goes by Varg Vikernes in daily life. I'm very cool with paganism as a religion, but there are a lot of neo-Nazi supremacists that intertwine themselves with it, which is really a shame. Because, in a way, isn't that exactly what the Christian crusaders did to the pagans? Let's, like, think that they were better than everyone else?
Yes. So, it's just like Satanism. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with Satanism. There's nothing wrong with Satanism. There's literally not anything inherently evil about Satanism.
No.
It's the people...
They don't even worship the devil.
No, they don't.
Mm-mm.
It's the people who do the wrong thing with it and cause a ruckus that makes something that is slightly taboo seem awful.
Right.
But then again, you have Christians raping young kids and it's still fine because they're Christians.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah. You know, I don't know. I just want everyone to coexist and have equality and... Mm-hmm. To think that no race or religion is better than another, just different. So it takes all kinds of kinds, except Nazis. Nazis are never welcome. We don't tolerate the intolerable, which would be Nazis.
That's right.
So.
You're here.
That is the Norwegian black metal church burnings of the early 90s and also... some murders thrown in there.
Holy shit, Brie. Holy shit. That was the most metal story I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a murderer and the victim on the same album. How fucking metal. And not saying that as if it's a good thing.
Right.
But if you're going to describe something metal, that would be it.
Right.
And I cannot get over... Like, if I... didn't know that that album cover was what it was, if I didn't know, I'd be like, God, that's like really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is really well done. No, no, that's, it's well done because it is done. It has, it was done.
Yep. It's messed up.
I can't, I cannot believe that the record company, they didn't really have a record company really, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure, but they could have, I'm not sure what label that was under, but it might have been one of them that they produced themselves because they had their own record label.
Many, okay. Who, so they would have printed all of those images by themselves instead of having a printing company do it. Insane, Brie. This is one of the craziest ones that you've done.
Mm-hmm. And I've wanted to do it for a while, but like it's pretty involved and it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Listen, you don't gotta do it because that is freaking wild.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I thought people might have thought that this one was maybe a little out of character for me. But
I think it is out of character for you, and I'm loving it.
I mean,
this is a new side of Brie that they haven't heard.
Yes. I mean, some people have.
Because Brie is pretty dark. Brie can be dark.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Here's. I'm not a fan of metal music. I have an appreciation for it, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. because I was made to listen to it at very loud decibels, and I got an appreciation for it. I would never choose to listen to it. Like if I had the aux cord, I'm not choosing that. But I do love the show Metalocalypse. But that's just because I love comedy. Like,
okay. Yeah. I get you.
Like dark.
I get you.
Humor, comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Fair enough. Well, I love it, Brie. I love seeing a different side of your personality come out.
Yeah.
Because I think it's time for dark Brie to make more appearances. I like dark Brie.
Yes.
I feel like when I say dark Brie, I'm talking about like a special kind of cheese. I just want you to know that.
Oh, dark Brie.
Like, have you ever seen the cheese with like blackberries or blueberries in it?
Yes, like goat cheese with the.
I feel like this would be a.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like a dark Brie would be like a Brie with like some blackberries in it.
Mm-hmm.
That you would drink with like a dark, like a red wine.
You would eat it?
Like a Merlot.
You would not drink the cheese?
Oh, yeah, you would. Well, you gotta melt it first.
No, I would stick a straw in some queso from a Mexican restaurant and just drink that stuff.
Ooh, fuck yeah. If I ever get married again, I just want to have a fondue buffet.
A cheese fountain?
Yes, a cheese fountain. I want cheese and I want chocolate. I want a dessert one and like a cheese one.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
God, that would be so good. Not like I'm getting married again, but you know, if I marry myself and decide to throw myself a party, you know, I'll take pictures for you, I guess. Well, thank you, Brie, so much. Dark Brie. I forgot what I was going to say next. Maybe I was probably just going to say listen to us next Thursday, but that's not where my mind went because I can't think. Anything else from you?
Nah. That's all I got.
This has got to be our most awkward closing. I couldn't think. Like, I just froze, you guys. That doesn't happen ever. Thank you guys so much for listening, and tune in next Thursday for a new episode of Perfect Stranglers. Bye.
Bye, everyone.